Well, look at you there. I think I'm a little off center. Can I move a little bit? Okay. Not much. It's good to be on a tether, I think. And I don't know if you heard my wife's amen when I said I was a little off center. Annette, that's good. Well, this is a fine group. You always say that to the righteous remnant, that you're just a fine group, and certainly there were fewer people than this in the upper room, you know, who were given the charge to go out and save the world. So we never feel bad about numbers over 120, because that's a good number. It's nice to be back with you again. It's sweet to get to come. Annette is with me today, and that's a great thing. We are in the middle of focusing down, coming down to the celebration of our 50th wedding anniversary. We are focused, and our anniversary is this next Friday. So we think we're going to make it. It's going to be good. All of that is, of course, for Annette, the clapping. That's good. That's as it should be. Anyway, we get to preach out of the Gospels today. I'm in Luke chapter 12. I've been reading in this text because this is the lectionary text for today in Luke chapter 12. And that may not mean anything to you, but at least it tells me what's next. And if somebody says, "Well, why did you preach that today? That's right. You were talking to me." The question might be answered, "Well, yes." And the other is, "Well, it's what came next. It's what was next in the list." And so we look forward to that. I'm always interested in preaching in this part of Luke, because in this part of Luke, Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem. He says he's on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 9, 51, it says, and Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Chapter 9 is where he was confessed as the Christ, and where he said that he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to be betrayed and killed. Jesus has this sense from that point, from his confession, that he is bearing the cross. And so in chapter 9 it says he's on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 13 it says, and he's on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 17 it says, and he's on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 18 it says, he's on the way to Jerusalem. In chapter 19 it finally says, and he entered Jerusalem. He's always on his way to Jerusalem. And so everything we hear him teach, we ought to hear him teach thinking, this is not the teaching of just some teacher. This is the teaching of a teacher who is bearing the cross for the sake of the world, for the sins of the world, and what he says he is giving as instructions to those who would follow him. That kind of makes you feel a little more sober about that sometimes. I'm not sure it's supposed to make you sad. It's just to allow you to hear the intentionality of Jesus. And so, if you've read any of this, last week he was talking about the man who tore down his barns and built bigger barns. And how before the grand opening of the new barns, they had a funeral for the guy who was going to build the barns. And that note was that your life should not consist of your possessions. And he goes on to argue that God is giving us everything we need, like the flowers of the field, like the birds of the air. And he says in verse 32, "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And that brings us to the text for today. I think it's going to be on the screen. From Luke chapter 12, verse 35, the following. "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." Okay, now we've got everybody's attention. I don't know if the people up by the lake are hearing about the coming of Jesus at any moment, but if they are, then you're sharing the same message now. This is important for us to hear, I think. And I'm going to talk about this in three ways because preachers only know three ways to talk about things. And it's kind of like a stool. A three-legged stool always sits steady. A four-legged stool, one of the legs is going to be short. And that's the way it is with sermons with 4 points. They always kind of rattle. But in this text, I want you to hear at least three things. And if you don't hear the same three things I do, that's okay. You don't have to stop at three. First of all, I want you to hear that the master has work for his servants to do. This is important for us to hear, that there is work for those who are following Christ to do. We are in a time where the emphasis is on kind of a leisure kind of environment. People are interested in how they get to be on vacation or up at the lake. People are interested in how they are able to have their B&Bs and their VRBOs and their whatever else. And I know about this. Annette and I have just finished coming back from a big vacation that we enjoyed. We were gone 25 days and only had COVID 15 of it. So we had a big time. But the emphasis in this text is not how you can take a leisurely sail on the Sea of Galilee. This is the notion that in the kingdom of God, those who are members of God's kingdom, those who are under God's kingdom rule, have work to do. Now, that work is often described in this chapter as work on behalf of those who are in need. That you focus your attention and your assets on doing the work of God in the world. And the work of God in the world is often described as caring for the widows and the orphans and caring for those in need. In Matthew 25, those who are in prison, those who are hungry and thirsty, those who don't have clothing to wear. There is a sense in which the God who is God intends to be a blessing to the world through the servants that he has called. God is not just going to send packages of food and packages of clothing and have them appear on the corners. That the people of God, the kingdom people of God, have a work to do. Now, there is also the work of sharing the gospel. And this church has been a part of that for a long, long time. This church has a reputation of being attentive to and caring about the work of God in the world. But this passage says not only must we be interested in that work, but we must be interested in that work now. I've been with churches who had wonderful reputations of doing the work of God, but had sort of left it aside. That somehow telling the stories of the past was some of value in the present. And the work here is not for the servants to remember the work of the former servants. But the work of the servants here is to do the continuing work of God now. Now is a tough word. Now is a tough word. Not all of us deal with the word now appropriately. For some people, now means quickly and without thought. Quickly and without thought. Just do it. Just whatever it is. And if you're doing it badly, well, at least you're doing it quickly. I had a little kid on my soccer team when I was a coach, back when I could coach. And he was so quick, he could make two mistakes before anybody else could do it right. He was so quick. And the message of the gospel, I believe, is not that we would do things so quickly that they are thoughtless and misdone. We have actually an example of a very deliberate, worked out plan that took some time when we think of what God has done in the world from the moment of creation down to the coming of Christ in Bethlehem. God was working out a long plan, deliberately, well laid. Jesus was not born in Ur of the Chaldees to Abraham and Sarah. It wasn't time. And so being a part of God's work, being a part of God's work may be a part of being in a plan, being a part of a consideration, being a part of a strategy that is moving us as the people of God toward a greater actual work. The prayerful planning of godly work is work. Good. But also, sometimes, now means now. Often we are presented with opportunities to do something good for our neighbor or someone we meet on the street. And our thought is often, as the devil, the D-E-B-I-L, talks to us, the devil sometimes speaks to us and says, not now. Not now. Later. Feed the hungry later. How's the refugee later? Later. It's often the sense that the devil doesn't mind you doing good as long as you don't do it now. As you don't do it in the moment of the greatest need and of the quickest loving response of which you're capable. Later's not always the right word. Some people I've known in churches just say, yeah, but I just hate to be giving the money to the wrong person. I would hate to be giving that clothing to the wrong family. I would hate to do good in the wrong way. I'm not sure that's our job description. To vet all of those who are poor and in need, all those who are hungry and homeless, I'm not sure it's our job to vet them. Our job is to show up as the people of God and act in the moment of need, in that time. And in this parable, these servants are always at work. Always at work. And so for those of us gathered here, that's our job. To be in participation, perhaps with some long-term planning, but also be open and vulnerable to what God may put in front of us in the next moment. Because there is work to be done. The third thing that I want you to know here is that the master is returning. Really? There's work to be done. There's work to be done now. And the master, in whose name the work is being done, is returning. It's an interesting foreshadowing, isn't it? For those of us who read this gospel now, for Luke, when he was writing it for the sake of the church, as he had done the research and the Spirit was working in him, for him to be able to write this down, people would read this certainly in a more comprehensive way than the people heard it on the day he said it. On the day he said it, the master's coming back. Well, yeah, the masters do come back, yeah. And he'll tell a story later in the chapter about the master who leaves, and he leaves somebody responsible for the house, and the master's delayed, and so the people start to misbehave and acting as if the master's never going to return. And when the master returns, well, suddenly there are accounts to be settled and discipline to be handed out. And they could hear that. But what they could not hear was the fullness. That it is the Lord Christ who by His cross establishes the validity of what the work is. By the love expressed on the cross, He establishes what the motive for the work is. And by His resurrection, joined to the sacrifice of the cross, Jesus establishes how people of this world will be reborn in the blood and the resurrection, reborn to become His righteous servants. That's what we know now. That it is the Master who dies for the servants of the house. It is the Master who has forgiven the servants of the house. It is the Master who has empowered the work of the house. It is the Master, then, who will return. The Lord Jesus will return. In that we hear that the cross was not the end of Jesus. Most people would not have thought that a person nailed to the cross and lanced with a Roman spear was going to come back to anywhere. But Jesus returns, showing his scars, and stays 40 days and hands the ministry of his house over to his servants. And the one who has ascended will come again. That's what the angels said. And so here we are, sitting in a place where there's work to be done, there are plans to be made, as if there is a long future. There is work to be done immediately, as if this is the last moment of the world. And we do all of that knowing that Jesus is coming. The great songs about Jesus coming have mostly been written in times that were hard in this world. Back in the Depression, which some of you may think was the 1980s, but it wasn't. A lot of people wrote songs about just over in the Glory Land. A lot of people back then wanted to stand on Jordan's stormy banks and cast a wishful eye. They did. In times where money's plentiful and food is abundant, and we're in fat years, people write songs about how wonderful it is to be here. How wonderful it is to be a part of this world. This is my Father's world. Well, isn't that great? It is. The fact is, whether the times around us are easy or hard, at some point, the Master returns to his house. And Jesus says, if the homeowner had known that a robber was going to break in, he'd have stayed up. The one coming for us is not a robber, but the one who completes every promise. The one who brings blessing after blessing. But he's coming. How do you feel about that? Years ago, there was a tract, the day Christ came again, and some poor guy was not paying attention to his faith, and Christ came again. It wasn't very good for him. And so people passed that track around, so he put the fear in folks, put some fear. But you don't want to be living a slack life when Jesus comes. And so some people thought that you ought to be teaching 2-year-olds all the time, so you'd be doing a really hard thing when Jesus comes. There's something about that we ought to hear. There's no time out. There is no designated moment where it's okay not to be Christ's child. There is no time when it is okay to lose focus on the work of the Spirit in our lives. And some of us who've done that know what tragedies can come with that. We are a people called to be always focused always ready, because there will be a day as real as this day, a moment as real as this moment, when the reality of God's future will break through. And it's interesting. When I was first married, I couldn't imagine being married 50 years. And yet now, I'm on the verge of having a morning that I wake up on Friday and it will be my 50th anniversary, and it will be a real day in my real life that's happening in my real 71st year. Days that you anticipate in the future, days when you have children, days when your kids graduate, days when you have grandchildren, days, those kinds of days will come. And you will experience them in the reality of the moment of your life. For that reason, because the Master comes, we are busy about the work, and we're busy about the work now. We're going to stand and sing now.